gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
Okay, I'm actually so keen to hear a few people to help me hand out these little cards. Sister, would you help? So back in 15th century Japan, there was a military commander named Yoshimasa. And at some point in his battles and his various conquests, he was given a beautiful teacup from China that he absolutely cherished. At some point, because he's a military commander moving around a lot, this prized teacup got broken. And he was so distraught about this, he sent this teacup back to China so that it could be repaired and delivered back to him. Well, Yoshimasa was incredibly distressed when the teacup was returned to him because across the seam, the place where it had broken, were a series of ugly metal staples. And this shogun, this military commander, said to his artisans, "Please, please restore my teacup to its usefulness in a beautiful way, not with these ugly scars of metal staples." Thank you. Thank you all. So at this point, his artisans undertook to find a way to repair the teacup that would be pleasing to their military commander. And so was born the Japanese art of golden joinery, or kintsugi, that still persists to this day. You'll see on the cards that you have an example of this golden joinery. For Yoshimasa and many of the Japanese people at the time, the deep acceptance of change in life, that teacups break, combined with an understanding of flawed beauty, an aesthetic that does not prize symmetry and perfection the way the Greeks and the Romans did, but asymmetry and roughness coming against something smooth, as you see with a lot of the Japanese zendos. The combination of this acceptance of change or impermanence and an ideal of beauty described as flawed beauty has led to this incredible art in Japan of golden joinery, of repair, that values the breaks in ceramics, in pottery, that says that the wounds that these vessels all receive are part of their history, that those breaks should be celebrated and made beautiful. So the resins, the glues that are used to repair ceramics are mixed with the finest metals, with gold and platinum. And you'll see examples in all of Chinese ceramic ware and pottery of this golden joinery, this kintsugi. I think when we approach the healing miracles that we have before us today, we are challenged to ask ourselves, how do we approach things that are broken in our lives? In Japan, steeped in Buddhist culture, the acceptance of change and the understanding of flawed beauty led to the development of an art form for healing things that are broken. But I fear that for many of us who experience a broken china dish at the Thanksgiving table, there's an expletive or two that slips from our mouths. Or at least an internal, "That was so expensive. How am I ever going to be able to replace that?" When we experience brokenness in our lives, when we find that our health is challenged in some way, or worse, the health of a loved one, when somebody that we adore dies, or a relationship is broken in some way, it can be so easy to deny that it exists, to push it away from us, to not attend to the brokenness in any number of very human ways, to throw ourselves into work, to be overly positive and optimistic and not to acknowledge the brokenness, not to accept whatever it might be that has come our way. The two widows that we hear about in today's lessons, with Elijah and Jesus performing these resurrection miracles, obviously were profoundly grieved at the death of their only sons. You all know that for widows, women of that time, to lose their only son meant the loss of all security, all financial well-being in those societies. So not only were their hearts broken by the grief of the death of their child, but their livelihood, their security, their safety was broken as well. I wonder, as Jesus healed the widow's son, resurrected the widow's son, how the large crowds who were around them experienced that. We're told that they were fearful and glorified God based on that. But I have to imagine that at least a few of them who bore broken hearts from their own losses were asking, why didn't Jesus heal my loved one? Why didn't Jesus heal my relationship, my broken heart? Why was I not worthy of receiving my son delivered back into my arms, fully alive, fully restored? I don't know a single person who at some point in their lives doesn't ask why. Why me? Why has this suffering, whatever shape it might come in, why has this come to me? I think the invitation and the challenge of these resurrection miracles, preceded by a healing miracle, so it's even more opportunities for us to reflect on this, is to consider how we might move through those questions of why. Why is this my lot? Why was my loved one not returned to me? Why aren't my prayers sufficient to accomplish this kind of healing? Into a place of accepting the impermanence and the changes that come into all of our lives. We all know that both of these sons ended up dying at some point in their lives. We don't know if they predeceased their mothers or if they lived into a ripe old age. But we know that they were not resurrected for all of time, that the change of death came to them again. We know that in our own lives, when we know people who experience healing of one illness, they may end up contracting another illness. When we can surrender the question of why, we begin to open ourselves to possibility of healing, of new life and resurrection that don't necessarily come in the shape that we are demanding from God. If we can begin to cultivate a sense of acceptance of the incredibly difficult things that happen in our lives, not denying the pain that comes with them, but simply acknowledging that hard experiences are a part of all of our lives. If we can remember in our past or in witnessing the lives of our loved ones, the flawed beauty that comes when we see people whose hearts are healed, who find some measure of mending after the death of a loved one, in the recovery of illness or after financial stress and hardship. If we can remind ourselves of those stories of flawed beauty, of strength that comes after a wound has healed, then we open ourselves, we place ourselves in Jesus' hands. And we open ourselves to the miracles that God can perform in our daily lives. When you think of the artisan holding those shards of pottery, you all have tried to repair teacups or whatever it is, trying to hold the pieces together while the glue hardens. There is that beautiful fine point where you are holding it tight enough that the glue can set and hold, but not so tight that it collapses in on itself and perhaps breaks further. Can you accept the difficulties in life? Open to an understanding of flawed beauty that comes in healing them. And imagine that it's God who's holding you in that tension, allowing your heart to heal slowly and gently, and then delicately painting this golden, beautiful seam to honor, to celebrate, and to mark your unique beauty that comes from those places of brokenness. If we can open ourselves in that way, then we all can experience the healing miracles that Jesus offers us in these gospel lessons. Through acceptance, flawed beauty, and a deep openness to miracles in our life. Amen.
Amen.